On a quest for epic gear, housewares, and collectibles, Loot Crate has it. Be the envy of your friends and get your 100% exclusive crates at lootcrate.com/Shaw and enter your code Shaw, S-H-A-W, to save $3 off any new subscription. October's Loot Crate theme is mythical. You hear the stories, the whispers of creatures and beings beyond imagination. Join us as we peer into the shadows and look into the other realms of October's truly mythical collection. Get unreal items from Marvel, Ghostbusters, Stranger Things, and Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Loot Crate offers an epic range of pop culture items for less than $20 a month. One lucky subscriber will also win a mega crate of seriously epic proportions. You have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific to subscribe and receive that month's crate. And when the cutoff happens, that's it. It's over. You want to get fancy? Get a bigger box with even bigger loot with Loot Crate DX. Don't forget, before October 19th, go to lootcrate.com/Shaw and enter the code Shaw, S-H-A-W, to save $3 off any new subscription. Loot Crate, it's the best surprise you know is coming. Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast is back. It's Arthur Arkish and Hub Arkish breaking down the Chicago Bears, the winning Chicago Bears. Hub, they have a road victory. It took December of 2 years. They went without a win on the road last season. So they have to be riding high coming off this victory and getting ready to welcome Carolina this Sunday.
You know, it's been a long dry spell, and I think with this team, this young rebuilding football team, you almost make a mistake by worrying about home field advantage, winning on the road. Remember, I believe it was in Fox's first year where they couldn't win at home. They kept winning on the road.
Right.
It's more about this team just finding itself and getting better. And yes, it was impressive that they went into a hostile environment in Baltimore. You know, we think about the most amazing stat is I believe that the Ravens under John Harbaugh were 10-0 against rookie quarterbacks. Now,
yep.
You know, Mitch Trubisky may have been a game manager. He may not have been, quote, the reason that they won the game, but they probably don't win that game without him if everything else stays the same, because that play he made on third down in overtime to set up the winning field goal, that was a big-time, big quarterback play.
Yep.
The athletic play he made on the snap over his head, I don't even remember in the flow of the game what happened next. I think they ended up punting, but nonetheless, you save a turnover that gives the Ravens the ball deep in your own territory. In not doing much, Trubisky did a lot. And then, more importantly, Dowell Loggins finally showed us he does understand what he has in Jordan Howard. Now, there are better ways to use him. You don't want to be running the ball 50 times and passing 16
right.
any more than you want to be passing 50 and running 16, but now that you've established that ground game, you get back to a 50-50 balance. You throw in some play action. Not only do the Bears get the win on the road, but there's some stuff for them to build on there, too.
Yeah, it is a nice formula. I mean, we got to give Dowell Loggins credit. I think of the previous 10 rookie quarterbacks that John Harbaugh's Ravens faced, maybe none of those teams did as good a job hiding them and being aware of what was going to be a winning formula this week. So really impressive. And some of the plays that just show up as an incompletion in the box score, Trubisky protected the football. He made smart decisions. That's what we didn't see for 60 minutes the week prior. So a really nice growth spurt, if you will, for him. And as you mentioned, Jordan Howard dominant. And you mentioned the word turnover. I think after Jordan Howard, that is the second key to this game. The Bears got three of them. It's not a coincidence that the last time they had three in a game, it was the last road win in Tampa Bay 2 years ago. Is that a formula they can look to repeat? Cam Newton had three picks in primetime last Thursday night.
Well, and not only three takeaways, but I think even more critically, Arthur, their first two interceptions of the year.
Yep.
Adrian Amos, his first interception of his career, and he turns it into a pick
six. At home,
six.
Too, in Baltimore. Big moment for him.
Yeah, and I think what we really have to talk about here, I don't know that we can overstate it at this point, Kyle Fuller is having a Pro Bowl-type season. I mean, he has played well every week. He's gotten better every week. And he was a shutdown corner against Baltimore. Now, yeah, I'll preface it. I didn't think there was another group of receivers as bad as the Bears.
Yeah.
Rashad Perryman is as big a he's probably a bigger disappointment than Kevin White, also a first-rounder in that draft because he's been on the field and he can't play football.
Right.
Mike Wallace isn't showing up for him. These guys should be better than what the Bears have. Other than that, the Ravens don't have much. And so, yeah, I understand that. But nonetheless, the way that Kyle Fuller is playing physical, defending the pass, we got to talk about it. Eddie Jackson is a rookie that you're not noticing out there, which is a good thing when he's one of your safeties. Amos played better. He had a good game. And on the other side, whether it's been Prince Amukamara or Marcus Cooper has been healthy, they're getting much better cornerback play. And I think part of it is because on Sunday, they had the pressure up front to go with it. I'm a little jacked about this win because I'm seeing some of the kids do it. You don't notice Eddie Goldman a lot. Nose tackle is a really thankless position. When healthy, he's played well. He's been healthy most of this year. He's been playing well, but he stood out on Sunday in Baltimore. And then, of course, Akeem Hicks is another guy you can argue is probably having a Pro Bowl-type season.
Yeah, I was going to say, you notice his running mate because Akeem Hicks is wrecking game plans on a weekly basis. Let's spend just a second. There's no close second. Akeem Hicks is Ryan Pace's best move certainly on the pro personnel side as an NFL general manager. And the reason I had that on my mind is we got to say both Ryan Pace and John Fox, the decision not to exercise Kyle Fuller's fifth year option clearly has lit a fire underneath him. And now this guy's going to set himself up for a huge payday in Chicago or elsewhere. It'll be interesting to see where it comes.
Yeah, I think they're crazy if they're not trying to get him re-signed right now. And we know sometimes these are short-term deals. You know, you do want to take a look at the opposition. But your other two corners are free agent acquisitions. Amukamara is 30 years old. You know, Marcus Cooper is still in his late 20s, but he's been around for a while. Fuller is only 25 in his fourth season with the Chicago Bears. They really should be looking at trying to get him redone. I did not understand why they spent that money on Charles Leno. I said at the time, I'll say it again, don't want to go negative here, but he is not playing well, and he is the weak link in that offensive line right now. But even with that, they've still got the cap space that they could get something done right now with Kyle Fuller if they wanted to, and I really think they should. Getting back to those guys up front, though, and specifically Hicks and Pace's best move, Danny Trevathan's looking pretty good, too, because he's another guy who had a big game. I know he was suspended the week before, the injury last year. But when healthy, I was jacked when they made that signing. I still think it's a good signing. He was another difference maker in Baltimore last week.
It's the Pro Football Weekly Chicago Podcast. Hub and Arthur Arkish breaking down a big Bears win. But look, we're taping here on Wednesday. It's probably time to spin it forward already, Hub. How can they make it two in a row? They've got Carolina coming into town. Carolina off to its second-best start of the Ron Rivera era. They're playing pretty good football, and again, they played on Thursday night last week, so they have a little bit of extra rest. What are you kind of focused on with Ron Rivera bringing his Panthers into Soldier Field?
Well, I think for starters, there's pedigree. You know, this was the NFC champion 2 years ago. They had an off year last year. A lot of injuries were part of it. Their offensive line in particular was decimated. You had Cam Newton playing with a bum shoulder. He had off-season shoulder surgery, appeared to be coming back into his own in weeks 4 and 5 before struggling week 6 with those 3 picks. And so now you ask, are they all the way back? At 4-2, they could be 5-1 if it wasn't for those 3 picks.
Yeah.
And it would be with a victory over the 5-1 team in Philadelphia, this is one of the best teams in the NFC right now. The Bears are taking a huge step up in class. How are they going to handle it? You know, your initial instinct is to say, oh boy, they're in trouble, because obviously you look at Kelvin Benjamin, at Devin Funchess, the way Ed Dixon is filling in for Cam Newton. This is not the clown show that the Ravens had at receiver. But that said, the Bears' two best games of the year are probably against Atlanta and Pittsburgh. So stepping up in class may not be a bad thing. Now, both of those games were with Mike Glennon at quarterback, but I don't think anybody would argue that Mitch Trubisky looks a little better at the position right now than Glennon did over the course of his first 4 weeks. So I think the Bears have got a good chance of making a game out of this. They've got to play by far their best game of the year to go out and beat the Panthers. But I'm not writing this one off yet at all. If that defense, if those guys up front can continue to play the way they did last Sunday.
Do they need a third guy to maybe not yet, it's week 7, but we're talking about all the mileage they're getting out of Hicks and Goldman and how destructive they've been. Do we need to see more Jonathan Bullard, or do we need to see Unrein maybe as a potential sub rusher on impact downs? It seems like Vic Fangio kind of has to lean on those two because no one else has really emerged.
You know, I think this is where, and I don't mean this to
and that's not to be negative. I'm just I'm pointing out we haven't really discussed a bunch of other names up front.
Well, and what I'm about to say could be taken as arrogant or condescending, and I don't mean it to be. But this is where you need to be able to look at the all 22, to watch film, to understand the job descriptions of some of these guys in the 3-4 defense. Mitch Unrein is another guy who's actually playing pretty well, and he had a good game in Baltimore. Even your 5 techniques in the 3-4 are asked often to absorb 2 blockers as opposed to being pass rushers. That's what's so amazing about what Akeem Hicks is doing.
Right.
Unrein is out there. He's eating 2 blocks. He's filling gaps. He's doing his job. The better question may be, do they need to use Leonard Floyd differently? Because Leonard Floyd is also playing well. They've made him a 3 or 4 down linebacker, which nobody saw coming. When he was drafted at number 9 overall, you thought you were getting your designated pass rusher. You thought you were getting Von Miller or Vic Beasley Jr. Now, maybe you still are, but they're dropping him into coverage a lot. He's been really good against the run. It may be that to create more pressure, they've got to, you know, give up some of that and let him be a pure pass rusher. And maybe some of that comes with getting Nick Kwiatkowski back, who is your second stringer, but is still the third best inside linebacker on the team and gives you, I don't think he is a good nickel linebacker, but he's going to be better than Christian Jones or Jonathan Anderson.
Well, Hub, as you know, people love sacks, especially people who can't watch the All-22 like myself. They're not seeing the big numbers with Leonard Floyd. But Vic Beasley is a bit of a one-trick pony. That was the natural comparison because we're talking about the next step Floyd's going to take. And, of course, Beasley wins the most improved player last year and leads the NFL in sacks. But I love the way they're making Floyd a complete player. And I think that probably is going to be particularly important this week. Christian McCaffrey, exciting player, someone who is a total matchup nightmare, just as it was envisioned by David Gettleman, I'm sure, and plenty of other NFL clubs. It's going to be Leonard Floyd's speed, I think, that not only is going to cover against McCaffrey, but is going to have to keep Newton in the pocket.
Yeah, to be clear, I am not at all unhappy with Leonard Floyd. I was just kind of responding to the question about pressure and creating it with him. I think what's really intriguing is you start to look at what you do during the offseason and the draft, and everybody assumes, well, you got to get wide receivers in the first round. You may want to go looking for that pure pass rusher to bookend with Leonard Floyd, because if you get that guy, then Leonard Floyd becomes Thomas Davis, shall we say, who you will see this Sunday, who's been one of the best outside linebackers in football for the last decade. Obviously a great story because he's overcome the 3 knee operations.
Right.
But maybe it's just that Floyd's going to be a great player, just not the type of player we thought he was when they drafted him. So, you know, at the end of the day, you've got one of the best defensive coordinators in football. He obviously is showing he knows what to do with these guys. You know, you don't have the big-time, big-money star on this defense. You've lost Jarrell Freeman. You've lost Quinton Demps, which I thought was a questionable signing to begin with, and yet the defense is now getting better week to week. So no argument with how they're using Floyd, but you've got to make your decisions as to where that pressure is going to come from. Let's also not forget that probably your best professional pass rusher other than Brynell McPhee was Willie Young, and you've lost him for the year. McPhee is on a snap count still. They're leaving him out there, but you can see he reaches points in the game where he's not able to go 100%. And so in some respects, they're still a bit undermanned. Are they too undermanned man to hang with the Panthers? I don't think so. I think it's going to take an exceptional performance, but I think they've got enough with Fangio game planning on the defensive side of the football that'll keep them in the game. The question is Loggins going to be able to do enough on offense with Trubisky to keep him in the game?
Yeah, just going back, we only got a couple minutes left on the Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast. No doubt, wide receiver, pass rusher, 1A and 1B. I still probably have wide receiver as 1A because it's Mitch Trubisky. He's your future and he needs help. Let's spin that towards Sunday. If the Panthers can take away Jordan Howard or at least limit his damage, we know Dow Loggins has to balance things out as much as we love the run-heavy approach last week. Have you seen glimpses? Who is Mitch going to look to? Is it Zach Miller and Kendall Wright? And the list ends there. He's got to find guys on the perimeter to help make plays, too. Neither of those guys really fit that description.
Well, they're going to get one advantage. They should get one advantage this Sunday, which is, if the Panthers are going to commit to taking away Jordan Howard, then the play-action game is going to work. And they haven't really been running much play-action. The other thing I think they need to do, and I'm stealing this from my buddies, so I got to give credit where it's due. You know, I do the post-game show for the Bears on 670 The Score each week with Olin Krutz and Big Cat Williams. They've been supporting and agreeing with me the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season that they're just not using Howard enough. They've pointed out to me the last couple weeks that now that they're starting to use him enough, they need to use him more correctly. And it could be that while you don't normally think about establishing your running game out of the shotgun, that's where Mitch Trubisky is going to be more effective right now. Eventually, Trubisky's got to be a complete quarterback who can go under center or play from the shotgun. But his strength is in the gun right now. You can still run the ball out of the gun. And so the thought is, if you put him in the gun, if you put Tariq Cohen in the slot, if you've got a run or play action option out of the shotgun, it makes everybody else better, because the coverage can't be as tight on any of these receivers. Now, if that works, your primaries are still going to be Tariq Cohen in the slot, Zach Miller at tight end. But maybe you open up a Kendall Wright more. Kendall Wright's got to be the guy. I don't like ever seeing a guy lose his job, but I respect the fact that they decided to cut the cord on Deontay Thompson. He was a six-year veteran who wasn't getting any better, wasn't going to be a quality wide receiver. You bring up Tanner Gentry. Maybe Tanner Gentry won't be either, but you got to look and find out. And so I think you focus on Zach Miller, Tariq Cohen, and Kendall Wright, and then you try and pick your spots and hope that Trey McBride and Tanner Gentry can make a play or two. They're not going to get targeted 10 times, but maybe you open them up by creating all these other things for the Panthers to have to watch for on defense.
All right, we got just a couple minutes left here. Hub's got to hustle to a meeting. I am actually heading to Hallis for Trubisky Day on Wednesday, so we'll have something up at ProFootballWeekly.com later on the Bears. What about Aaron Rodgers' injury, and does it create false hope for Bears fans, or is there even a correlation here? I know the Bears coming off a big win and of course, disaster at Lambeau. So it's 1 week at a time, but do you think that the Bears fans should have any additional optimism after seeing what happened at number 12 just up the road?
Well, probably not.
Because I think
it's misplaced for a different reason. The Bears aren't as good as Minnesota or Detroit right now either. So it might create optimism for the next Packers game, which is going to come after the bye. And it certainly makes them more competitive in the rivalry. But does it make them stronger in the division? Well, they've already got the loss to the Packers. It gives them a chance to split with them and a chance at a division win. But they've also got the loss to the Vikings. So unless they can beat both the Vikings and the Packers in their second meetings and sweep the Lions, they're really not in any better shape in the division than they were before Rodgers got hurt.
Yeah.
I think it's bad for football, to be honest with you. And I understand that it's not cool to be a Bears fan or Bears media and say nice things about the Packers, but let's be honest.
It's less cool to root for injuries,
we both know that. But even forgetting that, you don't root for injuries, but even once they become reality, there's no question in my mind, and I hope in nobody else's, that Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady are the two best players in the NFL right now, or the two most important players in the NFL. And anybody who wants to argue that is just being difficult. And so for the league to lose one of its two most important players, it's not a good thing. It's not a good thing for the game. It makes it less interesting. I mean, I was excited about the Packers-Saints matchup this weekend, just as a fan wanting to see a good game. The Saints' defense has gotten hot. They're playing better football. Well, you take Rodgers out of the equation, and suddenly that game becomes far less interesting. You've got a chance for Brett Hundley to show up, and that might be a good story. But I just think it's unfortunate that Rodgers suffered the injury. I think is in terms of how it relates to the Bears, I'm not sure it really does. And we know, even on a Bears podcast, that there are so many Packer fans in the Chicago area, probably even Packer fans listening to this podcast. It's unfortunate. It's not a good thing for the game. I hope he makes a full recovery, because it'll be a lot more fun for Bears fans to eventually beat the Packers regularly with Aaron Rodgers than it would be to beat him without him.
Well, and it's particularly fun, Hub, of course, and I think we'll just close on this. We'll close on this, and I'll get your pick on the way out. But let's get back to Trubisky for just a moment. The play in overtime on 3rd-and-11, the improv in the pocket, finding Kendall Wright to extend the game and give the Bears a chance to win. His precision on the move and in the arm talent he has shown, I knew he was a great prospect coming out. He's exceeded my expectations in that area specifically. There's not a lot of guys in the NFL that can do that. And again, I mean, it's been two games and we need to see so much more. But that skill particularly, the athleticism combined with the accuracy and the velocity on the move, it's really exciting to watch.
Yeah, I mean, Mitch Trubisky to date, let me rephrase that. In game one against the Vikings was exactly what I expected. And those who wanted to overreact and praise him for that are just not being objective, because the reality is his first NFL touchdown pass should have been picked. It was a ball that shouldn't have been thrown. He wasn't awful, but he looked like a rookie quarterback. He took a big step forward in week two, not just in the way the Bears protected him with the game plan and set him up to succeed, but given the chance, he made a couple plays and gave you a glimpse of some rare talent, the kind of athletic and physical talent that you don't see often. Now, the bigger question on him is going to be, as it is with everybody who plays the position, because they all come to the league with some skill, whether it's an arm or athleticism, is does he have the head for the game? Does he have the mentality for the game? Does he have the attitude for the game? Everything I've seen from the kids so far tells me he does.
And just the simple, I'm sorry to cut you up, but it, kind of just what you said too, to take that step from week one to week two and to go on the road to face Baltimore – it speaks to that. Again, it's a tiny sample size, but the growth from week to week, we know he has to have the physical pedigree to be the second overall pick in the draft. It's probably that growth mentally that we should be as excited about as anything.
Yeah, and here's the big question, Arthur, because there are quarterbacks in the NFL who can't make the play that he made on third down in overtime, but there's also a group of guys who can. It is a much, much smaller group of guys who can do it over and over
right.
again. I mean, you know, it's doing just, it once, it was exciting. Now we've got to see him start to do it repeatedly in games. That's what separates the real franchise quarterbacks from the chaff, and that's something we still haven't seen enough to know about him yet.
No doubt, and frankly, Cam Newton has an MVP award, but just as strictly an NFL quarterback, he's not doing that on a down basis. That's kind of the irony of it, right?
He is a below-average passer. Yep. You watch the film, you look at his stats, and I'm talking about his body of work, his career. 6 years later, seventh year in the league, he's a below-average passer. Trubisky has a chance to be something better than that. He's not the athlete that Newton is,
right.
but nobody is. It's exciting to see where he went from week one to week two, but it's really important now that he finds a way to take even a bigger step in week three, and that's why I think everybody should be in front of their TV sets or in Soldier Field at noon on Sunday.
All right, Hub, the old pals, Ron Rivera, Julius Peppers coming to town. The Carolina Panthers are in first place in the NFC South. How do you see Sunday shaking up?
I would love to pick the Bears. I can't. You're talking about, you know, one of the better teams in the NFL, in the NFC, especially if they play their game, especially if Newton is on. I do think the Bears will play them tough. They've done that against all the good competition they've faced. But in the end, I expect it's more likely that Newton makes a play than Trubisky. I hadn't really thought much about a score, but I'm going to go with something like Panthers 24, Bears 16.
I'm also picking the Panthers. I've got it as 20-14. I think it'll be close. I think it's going to be a little bit of a defensive struggle. And I think Julius Peppers, again, I can't reiterate that enough. Cam Newton likely to make a play, but I think it may be Julius Peppers who's more likely to make a game-changing play. He's 37 years old. He is third in the NFL in sacks, and he is an absolute marvel. So the Bears know well what they're going to need to get done to try and slow Julius Peppers down. We'll see if they're able to do it. And Quan Short on the inside against Kyle Long is a blue-chip matchup that should be fun as well.
So it's Julius Satchel Page Peppers coming to town. We'll see how he does.
All right, guys, it was a lot of fun. This is the Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast. We're cutting this one a tiny bit short, but we appreciate you listening. Check us out on iTunes. Make sure you're subscribed and leaving ratings and reviews, and we'll be back next week on the Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast. Thanks so much, guys. Enjoy the game on Sunday.
If you're looking for a website to keep you up to date on all the latest news, scoops, and rumors from around the NFL, look no further than ProFootballWeekly.com. It's the place for all the best news around the league. You'll find breaking news, hard-hitting columns, video, photos, podcasts, and more. All 32 teams, 24/7, 365 days a year. While you're at it, catch up with all things NFL in our newsletter. Our NFL Daily Update will send you all of the news you need to keep up with the pace of the NFL. You'll get news, analysis, and more sent right to your inbox at noon, Monday through Friday. Sign up now to start getting NFL news during the week. Pro Football Weekly, bringing the best coverage in the NFL to its readers since 1967. Are you following us on social media? Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/ProFootballWeekly. Then head over to Twitter and follow PF Weekly and never miss an NFL update. There are plenty of ways for you to enjoy Pro Football Weekly, whether in print or online. If news breaks in the NFL, don't miss a thing and keep it at ProFootballWeekly.com.